Welcome to Whispers in the Prairie, your number one podcast for the history and account of paranormal activity in the Nebraska and Midwest area. We're your hosts, Sam Muggenberg
and Sierra Decker.
And for this episode, we're going to go over a brief history of Charles Raymond Starkweather, the Nebraskan serial killer who roamed the prairie in the 1950s.
Yes, because things actually happened in Nebraska. We're more than just a cool zoo.
Yeah, Starkweather was 19 years old when he started his so-called killing spree. But his partner in crime was his 14-year-old girlfriend, Carol Ann Fugate.
That's really weird. Like, it's a 5-year age gap, which isn't so bad when you think about it. But for a 19-year-old with a 14-year-old, that's not good.
Yeah, I mean, like, 5-year age gaps you see sometimes, but I think when it comes to, you know, like, being an actual adult and then being not even in high school at that point, like, that's
crazy.
That's absolutely insane.
Not good.
I mean, in all honesty, at least he had a type.
Oh, no.
Now listen, so Alex Kingsbury wrote this in an article titled Misfits, Lovers, and Murderers.
Charles Starkweather's eyes never worked right. He took grief for wearing glasses, but without them, the world was a permanent blur. At the age of 19, standing trial for murder and asked to identify the guns he had allegedly used in his crimes, the detached-looking defendant refused to put on his spectacles.
Now, what I'm imagining while reading this is, you know, there's Starkweather just in the middle of stabbing his victim or whatever, and just all of a sudden, like, his glasses just slip off, like, full Velma action.
Oh, no, not Velma. Yeah, his metaphorical glasses, and he's like, oh, what have I done now? And then his girlfriend's like, oh, honey, let me get those for you right away and go back to murdering, because that's great.
Oh, yeah, I mean, they have a great dynamic together.
Apparently.
Now, okay, so allegedly, Starkweather and Carol put Nebraska on the map. Like, we actually got some recognition from this, which, believe it or not. Now, that is something we can thank them for. Bruce Springsteen's song, Nebraska. Did you know he has a song called Nebraska?
No.
I mean, I didn't either. But anyway, it's about the Midwestern version of this whole Bonnie and Clyde shenanigan. Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire also mentions the Starkweather homicides. And two films, Badlands and Natural Born Killers, which I'm assuming did pretty well, were inspired by these two.
Which is really weird. I've never listened to We Didn't Start the Fire and think of them. But right. Now that I know, I'm constantly looking for what part they were in. And now I want to watch Badlands and Natural Born Killers because I'm interested. I'm like, exactly. Oh, they're from Nebraska people, which is kind of weird because they're killers from Nebraska, not someone who we should be proud of.
Right. I mean, yeah, with We Didn't Start the Fire, it's one of the greatest classical rock hits of all time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a mention of Nebraska, which is notoriously one of the states of America.
Yep.
But anyway, so Starkweather, he was cursed from the start. All right. He was bow-legged and he had a speech impediment. So he was bullied growing up. Now, except like your average jock, his outlet was gym class. Now, so imagine he's just, you know, in gym class, and the way that he realizes that he has this natural born killer instinct is when he's just chucking a dodgeball at a random kid's head.
Oh my gosh. He probably felt euphoria. Hated dodgeball.
Really?
I was a victim of the ball to the head, and it was not fun. Maybe that would be my revenge story, being that kid that got hit in the head with the dodgeball.
So, growing up, Starkweather's family was in a rough spot. His father became unemployed after suffering a wrist injury as a carpenter, and his mother had to work as a waitress to make ends meet for their family. So, at 18, he started to work at a newspaper warehouse, and this is where he met 13-year-old Carol Ann Fugate. The thing about Carol, though, is he was actually introduced to Carol by his ex, who was Carol's older sister.
That's really weird to me.
Like, hey, Charles. I know we broke up. We didn't end on great terms, but, you know, I have this 13-year-old sister. I mean, y'all should link.
That would be so weird. I mean, how would Carol even respond to that?
Right.
Like, does she know that her older sister's ex is getting with her? Or is it out of the blue? I don't know. That would be really weird, though.
Yeah, I don't know, but, I mean, that's just insane to me. I mean, none of my exes have introduced me to their younger sister, and I hope they never would, because
oh,
that's
God.
Just a complete boundary for me.
Yes. Oh, ew.
It wasn't until November 30th, 1957, that Starkweather approached his first victim. He went to buy a stuffed animal at his local gas station or convenience store. The clerk refused to sell him the toy, and he robbed him at gunpoint, took him out to the nearby woods, and shot him in the head. However, the money that he stole from the convenience store, which was roughly $100, he spent on clothes and food for Carol.
That's weird. I mean, all of it is weird. And how does he get a store clerk out to the woods?
Right.
At gunpoint. Like, I get being at gunpoint, but getting him to go all the way out to the woods? Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, you know, scary thinking about. Like, did he have the gun to his head the whole time? Like,
yeah.
Walking? Like, I mean, how far away are these woods? Like,
where are they at? Is anyone around?
Like, right.
Oh.
I mean, maybe it was just like, you know, the 24/7 U-stop. And there's just crackheads around that just don't really care about the surroundings.
Mm-hmm. Also, he wanted to shoot him because he couldn't buy a stuffed animal. Who does that? Like, I love my stuffies.
Right?
I love my stuffies. Mm. I would never want to commit murder over them.
Never once in your life have you thought that you would kill for your stuffed animal.
Maybe my brother. But that was younger me, you know, when he dropped him in the toilet.
Oh.
Yeah, no, he was mean.
Damn.
That's the only exception. Not really. Don't do that.
Now, going back to this $100 thing, like, the money he got, he didn't use it for himself. He used it for his girlfriend. Isn't that sweet?
Sure. You know, oh, hey, babe, just gave you all these cool clothes and such. Did I kill a man in the process? Maybe, but you don't need to know about that. Maybe.
Just
does
on his knees, like, please don't leave me the money I took. I'm using for you, please.
$100 in this economy. I mean, 1950s, how much would that actually be worth? Compared
Ooh,
to now,
$100
is almost nothing. Like,
right.
A grocery tip.
Yeah, I'm getting my gas for like half of that. And then
yes,
the other half,
exactly.
I'm using in the gas station for just some snacks or maybe, like, you know, drinks if I'm going, like, on a long road trip.
Yep.
Like, well. So his next murder was a bit more personal. On January 21st, 1958, the now 19-year-old Starkweather went to visit his beloved, now 14-year-old girlfriend. Carol's parents confronted him at the door, and they told the boy to stay away from their daughter. As any normal boyfriend would do in that scenario, he shot both of them and strangled and stabbed Carol's 2-year-old half-sister to death.
That's, oh, leave the babies out of it. I mean, leave everyone out of it. What am I talking about?
Now, what I'm just concerned about is, so he was introduced to Carol, right,
mm-hmm.
by her older sister, and now he's killing Carol's younger sister. So he's having collusions with all three of these siblings in the Fugate family.
Oh, that's, ugh.
Isn't that just chilling?
Yeah. Or a great family reunion.
A great.
Depends on what you think of it.
Oh, God. Now, you know that one music video, Rude by Magic, where it's like, can I have your blessing for the rest of your life? say yes, say yes, because I need to know.
Yeah.
Right? Like, imagine, you know, he's at the door, and, like, the whole music video sets up where he's at the door, and he's like, listen, I want to marry your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, say yes, please, please. If you don't, then, like...
Why you gotta be so rude?
Yeah, if you don't, then, like, I'll marry her anyway.
Mm-hmm.
See, imagine... He stopped at the door, right? This is actually based on historical events.
Mm-hmm.
Carol's father says no, and so he just goes out and stabs him.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, I'm getting...
Why you gotta be so rude?
I'm getting carried away. So, after murdering all of Carol's family, Carol went with him on the voyage of a complete and fantabulous murder spree. You know, as one's girlfriend does after having her whole family eviscerated.
Oh, yeah. Like, I would. Definitely. Sure.
Right.
We'll go with that.
Right. So they relocated to one of Carol's family friend's place. However, not to seek shelter and refuge. No. Instead, Starkweather shot both August Meyer, which was the family friend, and his dog with a shotgun.
Okay, leave the dogs out of it, I will confidently say it. Or any pet, for that matter.
Right.
They don't deserve it.
No, it makes no sense. But, I mean, at least he's paying true homage to the sacred American spirit. A man and a man's best friend.
Aww.
Now, in fact, across the murder sprees, Starkweather made an effort to not only murder families, but also their beloved pets. On one account, Starkweather and Carol robbed the home of an industrialist. He stabbed the maid to death, stabbed both the industrialist and his wife, as well as killed the family dog. They both fled Nebraska after this and continued their spree in Wyoming. However, the couple was found and captured after their getaway Buick stalled out. How unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean... Buicks can be reliable sometimes, but out of experience, luckily with not with my own car.
Right.
It's happened before. Many times.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been in a Buick, but I think this story has made me realize that I am completely okay with that, and I do not want to step foot in a Buick.
Mm-hmm.
So, the Wyoming authorities moved the couple to a Nebraska prison where they both went on trial for first-degree murder. As a fair warning, though, there's a lot of holes in this story. Apparently, and this is one of, like, the very far-fetched conspiracies, some people were alleging that Charles was under, like, possession by the devil.
Oh, sure.
I mean, people will say or believe anything, but if you believe that kind of stuff, then... carry on with your merry little way, but I mean, I don't think that there's any...
Maybe that would work in the 1950s.
That is true.
Like,
that is true.
Compared to today, we probably wouldn't say that anymore, mm-hmm. unless you were, like, very religious.
Right.
But I don't think... even if it was 1950s, I don't think that should count for anything.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, there's just a lot of holes in this story. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because Starkweather would change his stories and testimonies while he's at court to include and involve Carol as, like, his accomplice and his, you know, his Bonnie, as you will. But in others, he just would not include her at all. It's like a whole case of, like, what actually happened and not... it's pretty difficult to understand, like, where he's coming from, and his lawyers were actually to the point of trying to argue that Starkweather was legally insane. But as any, you know, jury would, they did not give a fuck.
Which is great.
Right.
I mean, I never understood the idea of pleading insanity, because
right.
of course you're crazy if you've just committed first-degree murder. Like, no.
Yeah, I mean, it makes no sense. Like, I get for, like, some smaller things, but for being a serial killer, I know, like, other serial killers try to do this. Like, Ted Bundy, I believe, tried to plead insanity on his own will, which mm-hmm. is just insane. Like, I mean, no pun intended.
Yeah, quite literally.
Right.
Some cases probably would work. where, yeah, considering the circumstances they might have been in, it was a mix of pressure, rage, and then it was a cloud of misjudgment that might have been, like, the insanity for them. But for sure, if you've gone on a trip to kill, you know, let's go to Wyoming and kill some more, then you know what you're doing, which is not it.
So on June 25th, 1959, Starkweather was executed via the electric chair by the state of Nebraska. But before his execution, little Mr. Smartass claimed that Carol should receive the same fate.
I mean, yes, but also we have to think about how her age might have, like, been part of how easily she could have been manipulated into doing this. Of course, at that age, you know, murder's not good. So she went with it still.
Right.
But she probably was manipulated into it at the beginning. Which, I mean, still give her punishment. That's not good whatsoever. But, you know, manipulation for adolescents.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it makes sense to an extent. But you have to really understand, like, at a certain extent, you just can't excuse any of that.
She went on for a month? Like, killing people?
Yeah.
Then, yeah, you know what you're doing at that point.
You would think you'd understand what you're doing is kind of wrong after maybe the first few, or maybe after witnessing your whole family. Like, that's...
Yeah.
Well, after Starkweather was executed, Carol served life in prison after pleading that she was his hostage. She tried to claim that Starkweather threatened to murder her family if she did not tag along with his, you know, so-called joyride. However, the court ruled that Carol had ample opportunity to escape and thus marked her period sentence in jail.
Which makes perfect sense. I mean, you can't just go along with that and not expect any consequences. But wasn't her family already murdered by then?
Yeah, so apparently, in one of the testimonies, she claimed that she had no knowledge of knowing that her family was already murdered and that Starkweather was having this looming threat over her, which I guess could make sense, but at the same time, it's...
Like the jury said, you had ample time to get away and escape.
Right.
So, I wonder.
Well, to wrap this up, let's discuss what we have learned today, okay? So, 19-year-old Charles Starkweather had a troubled childhood, so he became a serial killer, you know, as one does.
Of course.
His partner in crime was his 14-year-old girlfriend, as one does.
Yep.
He hates dogs and all household pets.
No.
The only reason he was caught was because he was driving a cursed Buick. And now his legacy is engraved in multimedia, which has shaped the reputation of Nebraska.
As if Nebraska isn't known for anything. But now you know that it is. Yeah. What I've learned is that I hate pedophiles like I always do, and that I need to watch some new movies.
There you go. Now, all of the information for this episode has been linked and cited in the episode description. For more information on Charles Starkweather, click any of the links listed. Anyway, thank you for listening to the first ever episode of Whispers from the Prairie. We hope that you've enjoyed your time with us. Remember that we upload our episodes on the KRNU2 website. However, you can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Our next episode will cover John Jubert, another infamous Nebraskan serial killer.
Which I'm excited for, because we've got some insight.
Ooh. Be on the lookout for that, and we will also be taking requests for any paranormal activity stories that you listeners have or want us to explore. You can find our contact information on the KRNU2 website. Thank you.
We'll see you next time.